Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. On this day before taxes are due, we will begin with a comparison of what people pay in terms of personal income tax with what corporations pay. Scott Klinger, the Tax Policy Director for Business for Shared Prosperity, joins us. He has an article at The Nation, Six Rigged Rules Corporations Use to Dodge Taxes. Then we'll revisit the European debt crisis that many thought had been dealt with, but Spain is now facing unsustainable borrowing costs as unemployment soars to Great Depression levels and youth unemployment remains at over 50%. Economist Stephanie Griffith-Jones joins us to discuss what Nobel economist Joe Stiglitz refers to as Europe's economic suicide pact. She is the Financial Markets Program Director at the Initiative for Policy Dialogue at Columbia University. Then finally, we will speak about Mitt Romney's Mormon faith and its egalitarian, classless, utopian roots. Troy Williams, the executive producer of Radioactive, a progressive talk show on KRCL-FM in Salt Lake City, joins us to discuss his article at Salon, When Mormons Were Socialists. Joining us now is Scott Klinger, who is the Tax Policy Director for Business for Shared Prosperity. He is a chartered financial analyst and previously worked as security analyst and portfolio manager for Walden Asset Management. He has an article at The Nation, Six Rigged Rules Corporations Use to Dodge Taxes. Welcome to Background Briefing, Scott Klinger.
Good afternoon, Ian. How are you?
Well, I'm well, and I imagine a lot of our listeners are bracing for tomorrow's deadline on filing their income taxes. And I guess if they knew how crooked and rigged the system is, we may have a tax revolt on our hands.
Yeah, it's interesting to think, you know, there's this Tea Party out there, and, you know, we certainly could get a good rebellion going against the ways corporations get out of their paying their taxes.
So give us some of the broad strokes then from your the six rigged rules corporations use to dodge taxes. And, of course, these rules were written by the Congress, which is owned by the corporations.
That's right. Congress is fiercely lobbied on all sorts of issues, but tax issues are one of the most significant ones. And what we did is we looked at six rules that deliver great benefits to corporations that aren't available to middle-class taxpayers. So, for example, one of the rules was AIG, when they got bailed out in 2008, they were allowed to keep all of those losses, even though taxpayers paid for all of them, and now they're using those losses to offset their profits and not pay taxes. So those kinds of things that we think make the public mad. And so we profiled these things. They cost the American Treasury hundreds of billions of dollars a year. So at the same time, we're told we're broke and we have to cut all these programs that many people depend on. We're giving hundreds of billions of dollars of tax breaks to corporations.
Well, some, you know, there are good corporations and bad corporations, and it's, you know, at least in terms of the public perceptions, I think the 99% movement has isolated and identified some of the more socially irresponsible and predatory corporations. They're going to be picketing a bunch of shareholder meetings, starting with Bank of America in the spring. But most Americans, I think, have a fairly benign attitude towards Apple because, after all, they do produce goods and products that people actually want, which is not like what Wall Street does, which is extract wealth for themselves as opposed to create wealth, which is what they're supposed to be doing. Yet you've revealed in an article recently, Scott Klinger, that Apple, in fact, as its accountants are as good as its engineers and project designers and product designers.
Well, that's right. Apple is one of many technology companies and pharmaceutical companies that takes advantage of a lot of what's called transfer pricing loopholes, in which they can legally shift some of their profits overseas to countries that don't charge any taxes or very low taxes, countries we call tax haven countries. And the way they do that is they register some of their patents in those countries, and then when they use the patents, they charge a very high dollar amount for the use of the patent, arguing that the product wouldn't be any good if it didn't have that intellectual property in it. And in doing that, they transfer the profits out of the U.S. into the country like Ireland or the Netherlands, which have very low tax rates on corporate royalties and corporate intellectual property. And then they leave all the costs back in the United States, so they get big deductions for their management and advertising and research costs and those sorts of things. So one of the things we did when we looked at Apple was that we found that their profit margin in the United States was just 24 cents on every dollar of sales, and overseas it was 36 cents, which just doesn't make any sense, especially since Apple has so many stores, retail stores in the United States that they don't have overseas. So they're actually capturing more of the profit out of the whole sales cycle in America, and yet their profit margin is about 50% less in the United States than it is internationally.
So, Scott Klinger, the Buffett rule is up for debate now. Of course, it's going to be dead on arrival.
It was voted on already, and it failed 51-48, I think.
So, it's obviously a political signal, right, that the president is sending, he recently paid. I think he pays more taxes than his secretary, and he made a point of that. And of course, we know that Mitt Romney pays his 2010 tax rate was 13.9%, and of course, Buffett's tax rate is 17.4%. Obviously, much lower than his secretary's, this famous secretary of his. What's your sense of whether that? Obviously, the president's trying to make a political point. But is it resonating in this country? Are we in the thrall of millionaires and billionaires, or is there some egalitarian stirrings going on out there?
Well, I think it's starting to shift. For 20 years, we've been told that millionaires and billionaires and corporations are the job creators. And I think people are really starting to see what's really behind that. We see large companies continuing to lay off workers, to sit on record levels of cash and not hire and not build new factories. And now we see increasing evidence that big businesses aren't paying their taxes and rich people aren't paying their taxes. I remember, a decade ago when a lot of conservatives were calling for a flat tax. Well, we have worse than that right now. We have people with seven-figure and up incomes paying less of their income in taxes than middle-class families. And I think that's where the rebellion and the anger comes from. It's not American. It's not fair. Even Rush Limbaugh at one point criticized GE for not paying taxes when one of the Occupy people called his station. He got flustered and he said, he was upset that GE didn't pay too.
Because GE is also the parent of MSNBC.
you never know. But anyway, I'm on all kinds of radio shows across the political spectrum, and one thing I think conservatives and liberals can agree on, it's not fair when big businesses make millions and billions of dollars of profit and don't pay taxes. That's a pretty universal American value.
Well, again, I'm speaking with Scott Klinger, who is the Tax Policy Director for Business for Shared Prosperity. He's a chartered financial analyst and previously worked as a security analyst and portfolio manager for Walden Asset Management. And he has an article at The Nation, Six Rigged Rules Corporations Use to Dodge Taxes. Yesterday, I spoke with David K. Johnston, who's considered one of the leading experts on taxes, who pays them and who doesn't in this country. And he has an article at Reuters revealing that 2,700 U.S. corporations have managed to get state governments to withhold the state taxes which they withhold for their employees, but then to hand that money over to these corporations, which struck me as being almost futile. I can't believe that a corporation is getting the tax money from its employees, and the employees aren't getting any benefit, but the corporation is getting an enormous state subsidy.
Yeah, it is futile, and the title of the report that he wrote that on is from a group called Good Jobs First, and the report is called "Paying Taxes to the Boss," which I think says it all. That thousands of employees around the country are dutifully paying their withholding taxes to support their schools and their fire departments and infrastructure, bridges and highways and things like that. And that money is really going to build factories and probably even buy new carpet for the corner office. I think that's something that people don't know about. And I certainly didn't know about it before I read about it. And I think it's just another example of how far things have gone. We were talking about Apple a second ago, and one of the things Apple just announced, they were building a $300 million new American operations facility in Austin, Texas. And they're getting something like $28 million of state and local funding to do that. The state of Texas is kicking in $20 million. At the same time, they're cutting their education budget $4 billion and laying off 100,000 teachers. So, you know, where's that tax money going? It's going into the pockets of wealthy companies that already have so much, and our kids and seniors and those people that depend on infrastructure, small businesses and others are being hurt.
So, Scott Klinger, are we a government of the corporation, by the corporation, and for the corporation?
It seems that way. You know, things don't really seem to be turning around. It's hard to imagine that the Senate today would not even allow a vote on the Buffett rule. It's not that it didn't pass. It's that it was blocked with a filibuster because 49 senators believe that that rich people shouldn't have to pay their fair share.
And this is how partisan was the vote?
I didn't see the senator by senator breakdowns. I just saw the headline, but I assume it fell kind of along party lines. And obviously, I think some of the Democrats probably voted against it too, or else it would have had more votes.
Right. Well, do you think, though, that given that the president is, you know, he must have known he was going to lose. I think he might have been even surprised that he didn't even get a hearing in the Senate. It is, after all, controlled for the Democrats. That in itself is pretty shocking. But do you think it's going to be a viable campaign issue? I guess somebody's got to take up this cause, don't they?
Well, I think inequality is a huge issue, and the Occupy movement has highlighted it, held it up, and people it's resonating with people. I think people are understanding that it's not their own failures that have led them to be losing their houses or struggling to pay their bills, or, you know, see soaring costs for college education, have young people graduate from college with enormous debts and can't find a good job. It's the system that's rigged, and it's, as you said, corporations have taken over our Congress, and we have a government that's run for corporations and people in the 1%. And until people start voting for different elected officials that don't support those kinds of ways of looking at things, then I think we'll continue down the same path. But I think people are waking up, and I think we'll see a lot this spring with kind of a renewed sense of conversation and street protests and some of the stuff going on in shareholder meetings you mentioned. I think we'll see this in the news right up to the election.
So, but what can be done, though, to combat and reverse the economic illiteracy? Because, for example, I often hear on television and you see it in the newspapers that, American corporations pay the highest corporate tax in the world, like 35%. This is used as a kind of mantra to suggest that how overtaxed we are, and it turns out that statistics are pretty clear that the U.S. is across the board, all taxes included, is one of the lowest taxed nations. I think it's around 30 of the industrial nations in terms of how low its taxes are. So, you know, the truth of the matter is that U.S. corporations don't pay the 35% tax rate. That may well be the rate, but the average apparently is 12.1%. How do you get this data out? I mean, I just sometimes feel frustrated that we've reached a point in the country so polarized and so education is so poor, and the media is so derelict in its having any sense of moral of social responsibility to educate the public. You have a hard time with a lot of people just don't accept data.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly live in an era where facts don't matter as much as they used to. But I think taxes are a really important issue. Taxes are one of the major reasons why changes in our tax rates are one of the major reasons why we've seen this economic divide that we've seen of the rich getting so much richer and the middle class suffering and dwindling and poor people worse of all. So I think, you know, my encouragement to your listeners would be to look beyond the soundbite. When someone says something, question it. And there's a lot more resources online than there used to be. One really good piece of news was the Pulitzer Prizes came out today, and one of the New York Times reporters, David Karchineski, won a Pulitzer Prize for his tax reporting. That's something we don't see every day. So I think that there's a recognition that this sort of information is important. And it's also important as we're facing all these cuts in government, as we're seeing our kids' class sizes go up in school, as we're seeing politicians telling us we have to cut our Social Security and our Medicare. So, you know, if you care about those things, you know, put aside your aversion about numbers and read a couple of articles to have a different perspective on taxes and talk about them, you know, wherever you're with other people, in your churches or your union halls or, you know, wherever you get together with people, you know, strike up a conversation and try and learn more together.
Well, you just mentioned numbers. Learn some numbers, Scott Klinger. In the 1950s, corporate federal income taxes accounted for nearly one-third of federal government revenues. In 2011, corporate taxes accounted for less than 8%.
Yeah, that explains the deficit right there, and then some. If corporations were paying what they used to pay, we would be in a very different fiscal situation today, and we wouldn't be talking about having to make these dramatic cuts to social programs and infrastructure and all the other things we're talking about cutting.
But you would think, though, that corporations would recognize the kind of infrastructure decay going on in this country, the neglect, the defunding of education, which has led to the dumbing down of America. Don't they want roads and electricity? They all share them, too. Don't they want an educated workforce?
Well, it's you'd think so. I mean, it seems very short-sighted to have all these things. And one of the constant complaints we hear about corporations is there's not enough educated people to do the jobs that they need. So I kind of look at that and go, whose fault is that? Who's not been paying their taxes? Who's not been supporting the systems that we used to have, the educated people? I was with a small business owner yesterday, a couple days ago, at a press conference, and he repairs church organs. And he talked about when he started his business 20 years ago, all the young people who came looking for jobs had both music training in schools and shop class. So they knew how to work with wood and repair things. He says today people show up that none of them have had music in school and none of them have had shop. And so he has to train them all himself, and it's a great expense. So that's a very tangible way that one business is suffering because of the shift in priorities that we've seen because we're always trying to cut our taxes and do things on the cheap.
Well, it's an odd situation that it takes billionaires and this group of patriotic millionaires to tell the American people, and the president does this, by the way, he keeps saying, I don't need a tax break, you know, I'm doing quite well. It's so odd that it somehow, you know, people don't seem to understand this basic outrage.
Well, the majority of Americans support the Buffett rule and support raising taxes on millionaires, and even a pretty solid chunk of millionaires support it. I think something in the 40% think that a Buffett rule makes sense. So, it's not even that our rules are being rigged by, you know, the whole 1% or all rich people. It's a pretty narrow band that is pulling the triggers and bending the rules and all of this stuff.
Well, Scott Klinger, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ian. My pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Scott Klinger, who's the Tax Policy Director for Business for Shared Prosperity. He's a chartered financial analyst and previously worked as a security analyst and portfolio manager for Walden Asset Management. He has an article at The Nation, 6 Rigged Rules Corporations Used to Dodge Taxes. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the crisis in Spain.